Now, the Department of Education released its final list of changes on Title IX enforcement. It focused specifically on how universities investigate and judge allegations of sexual assault and misconduct on their campuses. Education Secretary Betsy DeVos says the rules, which came out in first draft form in 2018, are meant to strike a balance between protecting victims of sexual misconduct and the rights of the accused. She says guidance issued by the Obama administration went too far and resulted in unfair suspensions and expulsions of accused students. Opponents of the new changes say fewer protections for victims could have a chilling effect on people speaking up about harassment and assault. Sarah Brown is a reporter for the Chronicle of Higher Education. She's been covering this issue for quite a while now. Sarah, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, before we dig into the new changes, let's go back to, in some ways, the beginning of the story, the changes made under the Obama administration. Can you give us some background on that?
Sure. So what we're talking about here is the Dear Colleague letter, right? So that was released in 2011. That's when the Obama-era Education Department's Office for Civil Rights basically told colleges, hey, you need to take campus sexual assault seriously, or we will put you under investigation and add you to our list of shame that we're going to release to the public on a regular basis. So this letter essentially told colleges, here's how you should be investigating and deciding cases. So colleges need to use this particular standard of evidence when deciding whether someone committed a sexual assault. This new letter coincided with growing student activism on these issues too. So more students were coming forward, telling their stories of how they'd been sexually assaulted and how their complaints had been mishandled or ignored by their colleges. So that's kind of what was going on. The impact of this Dear Colleague letter was huge. I mean, it transformed the way sexual misconduct was handled on campuses. It prompted colleges to formalize processes. A lot of them have hired new staff members devoted to this work. And there's no question that colleges are taking student victims more seriously. And people on college campuses are talking about these issues like sexual assault and consent far more than they ever had before.
That said, there's been pushback from Betsy DeVos and others. What were some of the concerns that were raised that ultimately led to this revision now that's just out?
That's right. So there has been a lot of criticism. So for years, people have been sounding alarms about the Obama-era Title IX approach because they felt colleges were setting up systems that were essentially biased in favor of victims. So, for instance, the guidance told colleges to use the preponderance of evidence standard, or more likely than not, to decide whether a sexual assault took place. And the critics said that low bar allowed students to face serious punishments like expulsion, even if the details of a case were kind of unclear, like alcohol or drugs were involved, and memories were hazy, which is quite common in these cases. So Secretary DeVos comes into office in 2017, and she said, you know, I believe students, particularly men, are getting railroaded by these unfair processes. At least that was her perspective. So she said, I'm going to change things. I'm going to make due process for the accused more of a priority. And with these new rules, that's exactly what she's done.
Talking to Sarah Brown from the Chronicle of Higher Education, looking at new rules from the Federal Department of Education on how universities and colleges handle accusations of sexual assault and harassment. All right, we've set the stage here, Sarah. Can you give us some of the key changes in this, I think you wrote, a 2,000 or so page document?
Yes, so there are a lot of pages to get through, and I haven't even gotten through all of them yet. But for colleges, perhaps the biggest change, and this was an expected one, will be required hearings and cross-examination for sexual misconduct cases. So that means the students involved both get the opportunity to question each other about what happened. They are not going to be questioning each other directly. Each student will bring an advisor to the hearing. The advisor can be an attorney, but doesn't have to be. So that advisor is the one who's going to be asking the questions of the other student. I'll also add that the new rules do allow colleges to use technology to keep the students separate, so they don't have to sit in the same room during the hearing. That's pretty common already. So advocates for required hearings and cross-examination say that's necessary to get to the bottom of these murky allegations. And they say it will give accused students the chance to stand up for themselves more than they have in the past. So, on top of that, another big change is a narrower definition of what constitutes sexual harassment. So, under the Obama administration, Title IX covered all unwelcome conduct of a sexual nature. Now, that's pretty broad. The change is now the definition says Title IX covers, quote, conduct that is so severe, pervasive, and objectively offensive that it denies a person access to their education. So technically, that means colleges aren't responsible under Title IX for investigating sexual misconduct that doesn't meet that bar.
If, Sarah, I'm running a university or college right now, what do I have to do, and how soon do I have to have this in place?
So the official date for colleges to be in compliance with all of these new rules is August 14th. So that's basically 3 months from now. The idea is that the changes would take effect around the start of the next academic year. That's obviously a quick turnaround, and there's a pandemic happening. So colleges are pretty busy trying to figure out, are we going to open this fall? How are we going to implement social distancing? And how are we going to bring our students back? Now they're going to have to revamp their sexual misconduct policies too, and educate students, staff, and faculty about what the changes are.
Right, one of the changes for staff and faculty has to do, and I want to dig into this a little more, with mandatory reporting. The idea that if somebody comes to you to relate a story that involved sexual assault, say on campus, you many staffers and faculty would have to report that up the channel. What changes when it comes to that?
So essentially, the new rules say colleges no longer have to designate most of their staff and faculty as mandatory reporters. The language they use is responsible employees. Essentially, the rules don't force colleges to do that anymore. That had been the approach under the Obama administration, basically saying, hey, colleges, you need to have everybody report to the Title IX office the second they learn of something, because that's how we're going to stop cases from getting swept under the rug. I've been talking to college officials about how they're thinking about that change. Most of them are telling me they think mandatory reporting will continue to stay in place because colleges have spent the past decade training their faculty and staff and, student resident advisors and dorms too. They've trained everyone, the second you learn of something, report it to the Title IX office. There's been this culture that's grown around mandatory reporting. And so most of the officials I talk to tell me they're going to stay the course. But I will say the mandatory reporting culture has faced some criticism because professors, for example, often develop close relationships with their students, and they say that they've had to, stop private, intimate conversations like abruptly and say, hey, just so you know, student, I have to report everything you just told me to the Title IX office, and then that can be uncomfortable and betray the student's trust. So that's kind of an additional layer here. But at this point, what I'm hearing from colleges is that they're going to keep their mandatory reporting policies in place.
Sarah Brown is with us from the Chronicle of Higher Education. We're talking about new federal rules on sexual misconduct claims and how they're handled by colleges and universities. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you been following this story? What do you think of the old guidelines and how they're being changed over the next few months? Are you concerned, as some critics are, that they'll result in fewer actual cases of harassment and assault being addressed? Do you think previous rules did put due process in jeopardy? If you are a student or work on a campus, what's your take on all of this? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We pick up our conversation with Sarah Brown from the Chronicle of Higher Education, looking at federal rules being put in place, changing how colleges handle claims of sexual harassment and assault. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your reaction to these changes or your questions about what they're going to mean on campuses. And if you are working on a campus, if you're a student, what do you think about the way cases like this, sexual assault, sexual harassment, have been handled in the past? Call 800-642-1234. Now, Sarah, we heard about the backlash, you told us, to the Obama-era rules that led to these changes. What are we hearing now from groups concerned about these new changes and the impact they'll have?
So we're certainly hearing from victim advocates who have been concerned about these new rules for a long time. They're very concerned that they essentially roll back the protections that the Obama administration put in place for student victims, and that they just really erase a lot of progress that they feel colleges have made on these issues. Colleges are concerned, too. They have done a lot over the past decade to encourage more students to come forward about sexual misconduct. They're afraid that the prescriptiveness of the new hearings and the cross-examination is going to be intimidating to many students and prevent them from coming forward. So that would, you know, reduce reporting of an already underreported crime. So those are some of the concerns that that both victim advocates and colleges have. Victim advocates are also worried that the federal government is sort of letting colleges off the hook, right? Because we talked about that narrower definition of sexual harassment under Title IX, a lot of things that colleges have been investigating, technically they don't have to under Title IX investigate those cases anymore. And there are a lot of people who say the federal government is essentially letting colleges off the hook for a lot of sexual misconduct that happens on campus just because it doesn't meet this higher bar. At least that's their concern, even though colleges say we're going to stay the course and keep investigating a whole range of misconduct.
Let's go to our callers now. Will is with us in Platteville. Will, hello.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I was just going to comment. So I'm a faculty member and someone who studies some of this sexual violence, dating violence. And one of my personal biggest concern with the new laws is, or the new Title IX regulations, is the decreased reporting and willingness to report. However, I am somewhat glad to hear that the mandatory reporting is at least changing. It's my experience that it takes away the choice to and the power from the victim to make their own decisions when so many decisions and personal choices have already been violated for them. And it's kind of a bit of a mixed bag, but that is maybe the one glimmer of hope in my view.
Interesting. Well, thanks for the call. Sarah, what do you think?
Well, that's exactly what I would expect because some people, while they laud mandatory reporting as a well-intentioned policy, they say that it has caused issues. It has broken trust in some cases, between professors and students. And I will say some colleges have kind of retooled their policies in recent years to try to address some of those concerns. So they've reduced the number of faculty and staff members who are considered mandatory reporters. But there's no question that these new rules will give colleges more latitude to go that route and to decrease the number of mandatory reporters if they choose. Now, of course, there will be concerns that arise if they do so, because, you know, what if a faculty or staff member learns of allegations, doesn't report them, and then something even more serious happens? That was, you know, the kind of thing that the policies were designed to prevent, and that could certainly be something that crops up again.
Thanks for the call. We'll go to Nate now in Milwaukee. Nate, hello.
Hi, thank you. This is actually one of those situations where I think both sides can have a pint. There is underreporting. On the other hand, once it is reported, people should have a fair hearing, and I'd certainly want them to have that. from both political and personal and a separate political point. Kathy Young of Arc Digital wrote that there's a certain ironic justice to Biden and Democrats facing what she details in a good commentary, very questionable allegation that she thinks is true, but they have to deal with it in the situation that they supported.
Nate, thanks for the call. That's we've talked some about the Biden allegations. I want to stick with campus. So how, Sarah, in our last minute, do you see campuses trying to thread the needle now under these new regulations?
So I'd say that colleges are trying to figure out, you know, what this all means for them. The administrators I'm talking to say they're not just going to drop the ball on sexual misconduct that doesn't meet this new narrower federal definition. They feel a moral obligation to create safe campuses for students, but they're going to have to figure out sort of what the rules mean for them in that context. In addition to that, you know, small colleges, community colleges without a lot of staff and resources, they're going to struggle to put in place those required Title IX hearings and cross-examination. You know, on small campuses, for instance, everyone knows each other. It's hard to pull together a neutral hearing panel of faculty, staff, and students when it's that intimate of a campus community. On top of all of that, COVID-19 has caused colleges to lose millions, in fact, in some cases, tens of millions of dollars in expected revenue. And so now colleges are going to have to put in place these changes when they're struggling financially. And I think that's certainly going to be a challenge. You know, I will say a lawsuit has already been filed to challenge these new Title IX regulations, and it's possible that a court injunction could delay their implementation. But at this point, colleges have got to be in compliance by August.
Thanks, Sarah, for joining us today.
Thanks so much.
That's Sarah Brown, reporter for the Chronicle of Higher Education, joining us for a look at new rules from the Education Department on campus claims of sexual harassment and assault.